Sahanavavatu, Sahanabhunaktu, Sahaveryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastama vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so yesterday we went through, well, we started chapter 7, and the first 2 points, and actually, the most important points in the process of devotional service. It's all about spiritual master. So, what are the qualifications of spiritual master? But, what actually also is the responsibility or the qualification of disciple? So many times we ask, is the guru qualified? No, is this, that? But do we ever ask question, am I qualified? So Krishna arranges according to your qualification, then you may receive a Vaishnava who will be merciful enough to give you his mercy. And then you should be grateful for any such a such a cause as mercy. So any questions to this? Anybody? Some point to clarify?
You mentioned about the disciple to be qualified. When I was going to be initiated, second initiation, my Gayatri thread, my medical thread, someone changed it, right? I noticed. There was one who was not very nice, was a little bit entangled. So when Guru Maharaj called me in, and he opened, it couldn't really go, and so he said, you are in some kind of entanglement in this world, and but I'll take you out. And he, it took about 12 minutes for him to untangle my thread. And threw it on me.
Okay.
Question number 6.
Yeah.
But Prabhu, being a disciple is also it's also connected to not only wanting to grow yourself. I mean, like initially you approach a guru because you are the focus, you are the person.
Yes.
But gradually, getting mature as a disciple, how to help, how to be benefic, how to be productive. So how, when a disciple matures, what are the elements?
Okay. So, yeah, as you said first, then the object is himself. And he chooses, that guru is great because he is his disciple. So that's what makes the guru great, right? That's Kanishta. So, thinking that way, then the progress cannot be really very dynamic unless he starts seeing that the object of his attention shouldn't be himself, but somebody else. So he should see that the object should be Krishna. But to attain Krishna, then we have to establish some relationship with him. And to establish relationship with Krishna, we can only do through somebody who has the relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, if you come to somebody as a stranger, then they will deal with you as a stranger. And if you try to be nice and polite and you try to be very affectionate, they will think you are weird. And who knows, maybe they will throw into jail. Because they don't know. Is this for real or not? But if you have a friend who will speak for you to the other person, he will recommend you, then it will be accepted. So it's through somebody's relationship that you can establish relationship. No, you can, of course, through some situation you can establish a relationship with somebody, but it may take time and it's not going to be so easy. So to do that, then you need somebody's recommendation. So that's Guru. So he is so kind that he sees who we are. He makes us, he forms us such a way. So then we can understand how to use our nature in the service of the Lord. And then, when he sees that we are ready, then he will recommend us to the Lord. So then we can start actually understanding that there is nothing more blissful than the service to the Lord. So we will not see ourselves as the object, but we will see the Lord as the object. So to be able to do that, then we have to see who is the person who can recommend us. That's Guru. So then we should start seeing him as the object. So he's the representative of the Lord. That's the Shastra says. We can see him. Okay, so I don't know Krishna, but I know him. I know you. So then let me render service unto you. And Krishna will take it as service to himself. So through that, then we please Krishna, and through that Guru will have enough evidence that he can recommend us to the Lord. So that's all the process is. So when we mature, so then we should start seeing that rendering the service unto Guru and the Vaishnavas. That should be our goal. Because through that, then we will achieve the final goal, which is Krishna. But Krishna is never alone. We cannot see Krishna just everybody out of my way because I'm going to do something for Krishna. You may see, some program, something is happening, and then devotees may be doing something, and then now everybody move around, move away. I want to sing. Now the bhajan are going on, everything is going on, and just no, give me the mic. I want to sing. No, I want to do direct service. So that will be disturbance. So that's not the way. If it's not your time, it's not the place. Be in the back. You can participate in the bhajan. Now, when you get opportunity, then you take it. Because then you will please the Lord by pleasing the Vaishnavas. So the same way, what Guru wants? What does he want me to do? So please give me your instructions. Okay, just chant the holy name. Oh, you are giving to everybody. Give me some special, something extra. No, that's what it is. Now, chant the holy name and preach the holy name. So then for that, so many ways it can be done. What is your nature? Now, if you know how to sing, then go and sing. Go into Harinam. you know how to cook, okay, distribute prasadam. Many, many opportunities. It's endless. But we can, by using our material nature, you know, engaging in Krishna service, we can purify ourselves and we can actually get connected to the Lord. So that's all. That's the process of devotional service. There's nothing else to it. Everything else what's there, it's we are putting it in. We make the obstacles. We make it difficult. Because we want or don't want to do a certain way. Or why should I do this? Why should I wake up in the morning every day? Well, we want to go and see the Lord. Why I cannot stay up now the whole night and now play games? Why I cannot do this? Why I have to do this and cannot do this? Now what is this? Well, that helps you. Now following the process, it helps you to always remember Krishna and forget Krishna. So that's why. So the Guru, he shows us the path by which we can achieve all that. But if we take it or not, it really depends on us. Yeah? Yes?
Sometimes when Lord read out the qualifications of the disciples,
it's very heavy. Yes, yes. Actually, according to that, not many would be actually qualified to become a disciple. Well, previously, no, the Shastra actually says that it must be. And if the disciple does not have this qualification, the Guru, he is not qualified to take him. He should not take him. So, that's other yugas.
But, like so many
things. But that's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that actually, you know, he gives the way how anybody who is attracted to devotional service can take it up. That's the beauty of the preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, there are exceptions even not previously, like that. Satyakama Jabala. No, that's I haven't mentioned the story. It was a son of a prostitute. And we said it, no?
Yeah.
Yes. So.
By his answers.
Yeah, but by his behavior, you know, how actually he acted, he was not afraid that he will answer something which will be for his bad actually. So he understood he is Brahman. So he accepted him as a Brahman. So the Acharya, he has the right, to see the Shastra, the way, how actually it should be done. And for somebody it may be some contradiction or, but the Acharya, he knows what he is doing. Yes, but as long as we see it like this, then we can understand it's our fault, whatever, it's there, and we can slowly get purified, and we will become qualified. The problem is, if we see it's there, but then it's okay, no problem, I'm actually happy that now I'm different, I'm not like them, I don't have to follow four godly principles, then I make philosophy out of it, and start preaching it that it's okay, then that's bogus. So we are not qualified by the mercy of Guru, then he gives us shelter, then we should look for how can we repay that, what can we do to become qualified as much as we can, not making philosophy out of it that we are not and it's okay and no, nobody needs to. And that's very dangerous. That will lead one out of the devotional service. Now, these devotees, the first thing which happens is that they will not appreciate association with devotees, they will lose the taste for the holy name, and slowly, slowly they will just move away from the situation. Okay, so how should a disciple perceive a spiritual master? Lord Krishna states, "My dear Uddhava, the spiritual master must be accepted not only as my representative, but as my very self. He must never be considered on the same level with an ordinary human being. One should never be envious of the spiritual master, as one may not be envious of an ordinary man. The spiritual master should always be seen as the representative of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by serving the spiritual master, one is able to serve all the demigods." That's from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:17-27. So here, again, goes the envy. So we should not be envious of anybody. But no, sometimes the envy is that he has such a nice car. No, I also want it. I want to steal it from him. No. But the being envious, now for like material reasons, then some karma will come. But okay, no, we may get the karma and then it's gone. But we should be very, very careful not to be envious of the spiritual master. No, because that's not just that we get some karma for it. The karma will come in the form of either then Krishna withdrawing us from the devotional service, from the association of devotees, or something very, very heavy. It's not going to be just some simple reaction. So we should be very careful not to be envious of the Vaishnavas and especially spiritual master. Yes?
If we feel envy towards other devotees, specifically towards the spiritual masters, then how should we react?
First of all, then why should we feel envy? What is there? What can create an envy?
Envy.
You are saying, no?
That, yeah. Seeing some quality or some quality, usually I think, in someone else, and you say, "Oh, I wish I had that," and then you become upset because you don't, because he does.
Envy is that you see the quality, you know you cannot have the quality, and you will make everything for so he also doesn't have it. If you are jealous, then you see the quality and you think like, "Oh, I also would like to have the same quality." But enviousness is that you don't have it, he also cannot have it. Yes?
Why would anyone think like that? Why would we not want someone else to have it?
Because we don't want to work for it. We know we are not qualified. And then why should he be qualified? That's enviousness.
What is it for, though?
Hmm?
What does it come from? Why do we feel that way?
Yesterday we discussed it. Yesterday, right? Yeah, it's from, see, dissatisfaction. It's all about the mind. He is, we perceive that he is getting some more gratification. Okay, spiritual master, he has many disciples. I don't have any. I should be envious, no? Because I cannot have any, so then no, then he cannot have any. Has many disciples, no? Then just no, he gets to go everywhere, and then he gets to no see, and then no so much of appreciation like that. So that's envy. And me knowing I cannot be like him, so why should he be like that? Enviousness destroys everything. Because then we feel he is enjoying more than we are. So it's through the senses, the mind. We don't use the intelligence. Then, if we feel that there is some attitude like that coming up, use your intelligence. What is there to be envious of? Because by analyzing that, no, you will be able, I mean, you should be able to catch the point. There is really no point to be envious. So how, no, by discrimination, then you can see that the enviousness, no, it will bring you down. It will, no, make you fall. So overcome that, then analyze it. And then, how you can overcome. Okay, if you see, yeah, well, I did some offense. It was like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went together with Gadadhar Das to Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So he was, no, offensive. In one sense, actually, no, envious in his mind, Gadadhar Das, of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, that he's so opulently living, and no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considering him as one of the greatest Vaishnavas. Why is that? No, what is this guy? No, he's just sense enjoyer. But when he saw his ecstatic feelings, then no, he immediately begged for forgiveness. So he got the opportunity. Now, we may not get the opportunity, and we have to endeavor for it ourselves. So we have to immediately, when you see that attitude, that there is something bugging your mind, that, no, well, he should not enjoy more than you. No. It's like that the Peruvian frogs. You know that one? Okay, so there was a one, well, they announced a tender in France that they are buying frogs, and then they were just so who gives the best offer then will buy from them. So then they were getting from now all over the world, no, and then you get very similar prices. And then they got from Peru, and they got offer, we will supply the frogs for half price. What? How is it possible? So anyway, now they call them, and then explain. I mean, everybody is basically giving the same price, and then you are giving half price. Now, why is that? What is the specialty of your offer? He said, well, you see, we are supplying Peruvian frogs. What's that? So what? He said, see, Peruvian frogs don't need special containers for transportation. They don't need lids. No. Well, you are crazy? No, you don't put lid, and so they will jump off. Any other frog? Yes. But Peruvian frogs will not jump off. How is that? You explain. So then he said, well, the Peruvian frog, when it's trying to come out, then when the other frogs see, they pull it down. That's envy. That rather than just help somebody, you know, to escape, or even just let him, you know, see, okay, he's happy, no, he's lucky. You can't see that. You cannot withstand, so you pull back. So that's the Peruvian frog. So that's what envy is. So when we see that no tendencies are that why is he better than me? Immediately apply your intelligence, and then how we overcome it. Apply the principle darati prati grihnati. Give something. Or no, bhunkte bojayate. You not invite and see the quality. When you see the quality of the person, then you should appreciate that actually, yes, he is qualified because he has such a great qualities. And in fact, now I would also like to be in his association because I also will get the same qualities. So that way, then we can even gain from that. But if we don't use it properly, if we don't analyze it, then it will come to the point that we will try to figure out something, just how to, make him fall down or anything else, just to, for us, our satisfaction that now he is not better than me. And that's very dangerous. Because envy can really completely blind our intelligence and can do anything. So therefore we have to be extremely cautious. You understand? Yes.
As far as I remember, Subhutra Maharaj mentioned that the psychology seminar that the envy stems from our original anger towards Krishna for being the supreme controller and enjoyer.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to have that position, that's why we
Yeah. Yes.
There is more envious than humans attitude.
Sorry?
Nature. There is more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we can leave this by this same process that is
stable. Also the same thing. Same way.
Usually the humans are more
that's there, but you see, the mind and intelligence of a man works a little bit differently than of the woman. So that's why generally they do. The men have certain duties which the woman doesn't do. The woman does certain duty which the man doesn't do. So it's all just decided such a way. So then they all can perform their duties and be satisfied with it. See, like, a mother takes care of a child, and then when he is crying, then she immediately knows what to do, and she doesn't really mind not so much. But a man, when he would see the kid crying, he doesn't know, what should I do? Hey, stop crying! And he may even just give him a slap, why are you crying? But they will not stop the kid crying. Because the man cannot think when he gets into emotions. No, that's why also most of the criminals are men. When they get emotional, they don't know what they are doing. So they cannot use their intelligence. But they can use the intelligence without emotions. Now, for a woman, it's not possible. There is always no some emotions no with the intelligence, but there is also no some intelligence with the emotions. So if everybody understands their position, it can be very nicely used in their duties. And as Krishna says, no, one should not try to perform somebody else's duties. That means also that men should not try to act as a woman as a man. So it's there. And if we understand this principle, then we can all be engaged properly in our duties and not in the Varnashrama Dharma. So, and as it is among the women that they may be envious or jealous of things or each other, well, it is the nature, but this is the husband's duty to actually provide the shelter for the woman, so then the woman does not need to be jealous or envious of somebody else. So that's why qualified woman and qualified men make good match. So, and then when the principles are working, the female principle, the male principle, then everything works well. But the nature is still there, the potency, it's still there, it can always come up. It's not going to be perfect. There is no perfect match. Even Lord Shiva and Parvati are not perfect match. It's the best, but it cannot be perfect. So even between them, there are always sometimes some misunderstandings. But that's what it is. If we try to, it's not really possible to understand. Another example we can give. There was a man. He was walking on a beach, and he stumbles over a bottle. This is the bottle opened, and then genie comes out, and then. How can I serve you? No. Please order me. What should I do? I can really have anything I want. Yes. Just you tell me. What do you want? I was always wondering, you're so beautiful to have a bridge from mainland, the US to Hawaii. And, so I can go by car. Then genie, are you crazy? You know how much cement will take? No, the ocean is deep. No, it's not just like an ordinary bridge. No, it's very, very, it's impossible. No, it's not, cannot really do that. Now, how will I get everything together? Forget it. Ask something else. Okay. Thinking. I was always wondering, what is the nature of a woman? How to understand the woman? Please, can you make me understand the nature of a woman? The genie is thinking, how many lines? So like that. No, it's very difficult. So we should not try to understand. We will not be able to. But what we can do, we can follow our duties. By following the duties, there will be difficulties. Try to overcome the difficulties. And for the service of the Lord. Because the marriage should happen with the objection, with the objective of using it for Krishna consciousness. So then when we can do that, when we actually get properly established in that way, then we can use that as to our advantage. Because we have some anarthas. And unless we remove the anarthas, we will not be able to understand who we are. So then by performing the services, by doing going through the obstacles, then we will get closer to Krishna. And then that way, then we can actually, even through the difficulties, get the realization. So if we cannot get the realization by hearing or by seeing, then yeah, we go through a realization, no, if we get it by experiencing. So we cannot stay as a brahmachari, then we should not go into a grihastha life, but follow all the duties of grihastha, no, as it is, means providing shelter. Shelter for the wife, shelter for the children, and just try to please her as much as we can. It will be difficult. But that difficulty will make us realize that we actually have nothing to do in this material world. It's pointless. So at the end of grihastha life, then we can take sannyas and then in samadhi then go back to Krishna. But if we have the anarthas and then we don't go through the difficulties, then we will not realize it. And we will not be able to see that the material world actually is a place where it's pointless to live. Because we didn't get the realization. So to do get the realization, we have to get the realization somehow.
I've seen some couples that when problems are coming, they go to the second conclusion. So let's divorce and that's... And sometimes if you go on, the realization will come and you even go to get to a nice karma point with Maharaj is pointing out. And then the marriage will actually be better than it was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's possible, if the understanding is there. But if it's not, so then they will blame each other. You know, oh, it's not my fault, it's your fault. And because it's your fault, then I'm faultless. So therefore, I can just, means if anything goes wrong, it's somebody else's fault. And I'm faultless, I don't have to learn anything, I don't have to experience anything. I know everything. So then why should I get out of here? I will have no desire to get out of here. Because everything is perfect. I am perfect. And the people are not. No, everything else is not. Only I am perfect. So that, I don't need to endeavor for anything. But if we see that maybe I am not perfect.
There's a possibility.
Yes, so then... What should I do to become? Then, with the endeavor to inquire, then we may get answer. And we have to endeavor to perform our duties, then we will be able to progress. That's what it is. Okay, what if someone does not follow the instructions of the Acharya and the scriptures? The scripture known as Brahma Yamala states as follows. If someone wants to pose himself as a great devotee without following the authorities of the revealed scriptures, then his activities will never help him to make progress in devotional service. Instead, he will simply create disturbances for the sincere students of devotional service. Those who do not strictly follow the principles of revealed scriptures are generally called sahajiyas, those who have imagined everything to be cheap, who have their own concocted ideas, and who do not follow the scriptural injunctions. Such persons are simply creating disturbances in the discharge of devotional service. So, to be able to follow or to know if we are doing things right, we have to follow Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. And out of those, then Guru and Sadhu, they follow the Shastra. So Shastra is the regular scripture. But we need Guru and Sadhu to understand the Shastra. Now when Srila Prabhupada, when was that the landing on the moon, right? So there was some devotee, and then he didn't actually believe Srila Prabhupada that they didn't land on the moon. And now Srila Prabhupada, he felt a little bit maybe not disappointed. How would you say? Anyway, his point was, okay, I can understand that you may not believe me. But how can one not believe the scripture? So the scripture, it's coming directly from the Lord. Now, if you have a bona fide guru who knows the scriptures, who knows the conclusions of the scriptures, then he will be able to explain the principles from the scriptures in any situation. So for all of our needs, all the details, everything can be explained based on the principles. But if the person he is not bona fide, then he will concoct some his own ideas. He will not follow the scriptures. He may even say, well, I am following the scripture, but he is not. So that's the difference. He will not follow. So we have to be enough watchful to be able to discriminate between who is bona fide, who is not. So a person who follows in his own life the conclusion of the scriptures and he lives the scriptures, so he is a person who is bona fide. We should follow such a person. If you have a person who says something, talks big words, but he does something else, criticizes Vaishnavas or do something, then we may be very careful about that person. So that's the difference. We should just be very alert, seeing who may be the person who can give us the explanations of the conclusions. So when we have a person like that, then we can follow the principle of Guru Sadhu Shastra. So anything can be asked, either Guru or Sadhu, and then it will be explained. So we will not make mistakes. We may not know why we should inquire. But once we inquire and we understand that that should be done, then we should follow. Sometimes it may be difficult for us to understand. then if we don't have the potential to understand, then at least on the stand of our faith we should follow. But that can be done only if there is established some relationship. Seeing that Guru, he is our well-wisher, so based on that we can follow the instruction. Now, based on the faith which we have, even though we may not know really why, we will come to see it later. Like a doctor, he is not asking us if we want not this medicine or that medicine. He knows what's the best medicine for us. And then we are not asking, why you are not giving this medicine like last time. No, we don't have the knowledge. It's beyond our understanding. But based on the faith, we take it and then we get cured. So then we will put more faith in the doctor that if we do get sick again, we will come to him and then he will give us different medicine. Like in Ayurveda, then for two persons, they may have the same disease or the symptoms may be the same. But the doctor may prescribe completely different course of treatment for each of them. So we may wonder, why he has something else than me? It's based on so many circumstances. So we should not judge something out of ignorance. But if we cannot understand, if we cannot get the Gyan and the Vigyan, then at least we should be able then to follow based on the relationship. But the relationship must be established before that. Yes?
Is it possible to get realizations not following the scriptural instructions? For example, if you hear the principle, but you, because of previous conditioning and attachment, maybe even misgivings, are choosing not to follow, but in due course of following and not following the principle, you will see that actually the scriptures, what it told us going to happen, if you didn't follow,
you see, not follow and being against, there will be two different things. One may not know the scriptures, but he is automatically following.
I'm not talking about being against,
okay, it is possible. See, like there was the instance when Chaitanya Prabhu was traveling in South India. Then he would there was one Brahmana, one person. And he was holding Bhagavad Gita upside down and crying. And why is he crying? No, everyone was saying, he doesn't know how to read, that's why he's crying. No. But then, he came to the devotee and then asked, what's the matter? And then he was in ecstasy, actually thinking about how great Krishna is. He is the supreme person, but he comes down, to serve Arjuna, who is actually his servant. So only Supreme Personality of Godhead can do that. Nobody else would. No demigods would do that. For them it would be lowering their position. But Krishna, he doesn't have that ego. He doesn't have to prove that he is supreme. So he can do whatever he wants. So that's the beauty of the Supreme Person. He can do that. And then because of he does it, so all the nice interactions happen. So now how? No. What was the question? Sorry.
It is possible to get realization, but from the negative.
Yeah.
Side,
okay. So then.
Nobody is the principle.
Yeah.
Performing the principle, but then you see the.
So he asked the person, right? What's the matter? And then, okay, so then he realized that he actually knows the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. So he embraced him, saying, yes, you understood Bhagavad Gita. So there may be many persons who read Bhagavad Gita. They know Bhagavad Gita by heart, but they don't know anything from it. Therefore, Gyan is not the conclusion. One must get the realization. So the devotee may have gotten the realization just by reading or somebody, no, hearing Bhagavad Gita, but he may have got the realization not through somebody just telling him something which led to it. It depends on his previous activities. He may have been great devotee in previous life and just didn't make it back to Godhead. So he may already have been realized. Or you see, like in the case of Shukadev Goswami, he was self-realized, but he didn't know really who he was. But as soon as he heard the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, he understood what he should do and immediately becomes surrendered to the Lord. So it is possible. But it's not possible to pretend it. It's not possible to think that, okay, now I'm realized, so now I can do whatever I want. By performing duties, then one becomes purified. Once purified, then he may start doing things spontaneously, but not really that he's planning to do that way. It just happens. But he still follows the process of sarana bhakti. So even the raganuga, it's sarana bhakti. But we do things spontaneously, not because we have to. But we see that by that we can please Krishna, so become spontaneous. But still, we will not reject the process of sarana. And in fact, if such a devotee forgets sometimes, that may happen. But that's him. We cannot take it as an example. Now we can also. No, we are not on that level. But the devotee who is on the platform of Raganuga, he will never speak against samanya or the process of devotional service in general. He will never say anything against scripture. He will not say, oh, forget about that one. That's not good. No, you should all come and do Raganuga. He would never say that. He knows it's a process, and spontaneously, it comes, and he does, but he externally still follows the process of sarana bhakti. Externally, there is no difference. Only that he may forget to eat, he may forget to sleep. But he's not complaining about it. And he's not demanding that, okay, I didn't sleep, so now I need to sleep, and then you take the service for me. No, he's not like that. So this is Raganuga. So it's possible to realize that. But no, it's by the external mercy of the Vaishnavas and the Lord. And so when we see on some devotee that he is on the platform, we should just try to take his association. You see, it's the negative side that why he won't follow.
Because of prior conditioning. Maybe take an example. Somebody's going into Grihastha Ashram and he's told that sex life should only be procreation.
Okay. Okay. So, as long as it's understood that it's my anartha, and then I'm trying to overcome, it's following, but he has difficulty with that. But every moment he's trying to find out how to fulfill and to follow. So he's following, but he is not on the highest level of following yet. But as soon as he thinks it's okay and makes philosophy out of it, and then tells everybody, you should also forget about that you don't have to, then that's not good. So the dynamics must be that even though we are unable to, then okay, keep humble. I cannot. Others can. I cannot. Now what can I do to follow? We should keep inquiring. We should associate with those who can and get the experience so that we also get the realization. So if we cannot follow the scripture, then we should seek guru or a sadhu to inquire how should we follow, what should we do to be able to follow the scripture. So that's all. But we should endeavor now to do maximum to follow. Don't give up. That's the whole point.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.